2014 National English Competition for College Students, Level A, Final. Part 1, Listening Comprehension. Section A. In this section, you will hear 5 short conversations. Each conversation will be read only once. At the end of each conversation, there will be a 15-second pause. During the pause, read the question and the 4 choices marked A, B, C, and D, and decide which is the best answer. Then mark the corresponding letter on the answer sheet with a single line through the center. One. How do you feel about the future of the Jaragua lizard, the world's smallest lizard?
I feel optimistic, because local people have formed conservation organizations in the Caribbean. And we find it in the park Isla Beta. The park's remoteness and ruggedness give it further protection.
Well, good luck in the future with your environmental campaigns. Two. How do you dispose of the waste in your factory?
We have to send it to a landfill. It's very expensive because the government recently introduced a landfill tax. So we're planning to build a new incineration plant next year to burn our waste.
But doesn't burning waste produce carbon monoxide?
Yes, it does. But we believe it's less harmful to the environment than landfill.
Three. How has the takeover affected the company?
A plant in Manila and another in Dubai will be closed down. About 300 people are going to lose their jobs. But most of them will be offered jobs in other plants, and quite a few want to take early retirement.
So there are no compulsory redundancies?
Very few.
Four. Can you tell me what's included in your warranty?
Certainly. The product has a 2-year guarantee. If it breaks down during that period, we offer a replacement unit completely free of charge. Our products are very reliable, but we recommend you take out an extended warranty. This covers you for a further 2 years.
I see. What does that include?
It covers all parts and labor, except for normal wear and tear, of course. Five. Mrs. Anita Lee, the Chinese meals you make are now enjoyed in millions of family homes. We know it's not something that is easily done.
No, it isn't. Last year we needed to expand, and I was reluctant to go to the bank for a loan, and Lania Foods came along and offered us the funds.
It seemed too good to be true.
In fact, it was too good to be true. The offer was deficit financing. Things got difficult, and in no time, my company was pouring money into Lania instead of the other way around.
Section B. In this section, you'll hear 2 long conversations. Each conversation will be read only once. At the end of each conversation, there will be a 1-minute pause. During the pause, read the questions and the 4 choices marked A, B, C, and D, and decide which is the best answer. Then mark the corresponding letter on the answer sheet with a single line through the center.
Conversation 1. Mr. Jones, I'm sure you're aware that commuters in the area are growing very concerned about the delay in opening the new bridge across the Brunton. It's already nearly a year overdue. The ferry service has been greatly reduced, and people have been greatly inconvenienced. Are you able to supply a definite opening date?
Unfortunately, I'm not in a position to do so at this moment. What I can tell you is that a committee has been set up to investigate the delay, and that this committee will report to us in due course. At this juncture, we can say that there have been a number of unexpected teething troubles, but we're unaware of the exact nature of these. Of course, we very much regret the delay.
Meanwhile, Mr. Jones, people have to drive miles to get to work because they cannot get across the river. It appears that the ferry companies jumped the gun when they so drastically reduced the service across the river.
The ferry company's decision was a commercial one, and is in no way the responsibility of the government, or indeed, of the local authority. Far be it from me either to criticize or defend their decision, but business is business, and presumably they wish to avoid substantial losses by providing too many ferry boats for the numbers using them. It's easy to be wise after the event, but their decision was made as a result of the original building forecast.
In view of the inconvenience caused to the public, is it possible for the government to intervene to try to persuade the ferry company to reintroduce their original service temporarily until the bridge is actually opened?
Not until we've had the report of the committee, which is investigating the state of play on the building of the bridge. In the meantime, I must urge everyone to be patient. The splendid new bridge will be worth waiting for. Conversation 2.
Welcome to today's program, where Mrs. Mary Higgins, a frequent traveler on Luton's buses, has the chance to voice some complaints, which many of us will probably support, to John Gardner, the town's transport manager. Mrs. Higgins, where would you like to begin?
With the timetable, or rather the lack of one you can trust. I thought that when these timetables were printed, they made allowances for rush hour traffic, the time of day and all that, but I've never once known a bus to be on time. I would have expected better.
True enough, Mrs. Higgins. We do try to anticipate these things. But then something comes along we're not prepared for, like a demonstration or a diversion, and we can't go issuing new timetables to take account of that, or we'd be forever rushing back and forth to the printers.
But isn't it possible to find some way to alert passengers of some unforeseen situations? Couldn't you put signs up?
We've thought of that, but it's not really practical. We'd have to have a man rushing round all day, putting signs on bus stops. That would mean increased costs and, inevitably, higher fares.
That's another thing. 3 fare increases in the past year. They're not much cheaper than taxis, and I can assure you that if there's another increase, that's how I'll be traveling.
I'm sorry to hear that, Mrs. Higgins. But when costs increase, we are bound to raise fares to remain profitable.
Well, why don't you use some of that extra money to keep the buses clean? I can't bear to sit surrounded by litter and offensive slogans.
The buses are cleaned each night, Mrs. Higgins, and always have been. There are litter bins on each bus, but they don't seem to make a difference. If passengers are in the habit of just dropping things around them, such provisions don't alter the situation.
Well, if one thing has come out of today's exchange of views, it's the value of an occasional get-together so people can get things off their chest and explanations can be made. It might be a good idea to repeat this in the not-too-distant future.
I'm certainly more than willing to do that.
Me too, if I can find a bus. But I can't really see things changing a great deal. Section C. In this section, you will hear 5 short news items. After each item, which will be read only once, there will be a 15-second pause. During the pause, read the question and the 4 choices marked A, B, C, and D, and decide which is the best answer. Then mark the corresponding letter on the answer sheet with a single line through the center.
Section 16. Fertility rates in the United States are continuing their decades-long decline, due in large part to a steep slide in teenage pregnancies down to historic lows, according to a new government report released Thursday. The report only examined the trajectory of pregnancy rates through 2009, stopping there because more recent data on abortions is not available yet. But newer statistics on birth rates suggest the decline is continuing, though not as quickly as it did in recent years, when the recession accelerated trends well underway.
Section 17. Max Baucus, the influential Democratic senator from Montana, is said to become the next U.S. ambassador to China. It's an interesting pick in the sense that security competition with China is heating up, and he doesn't have much of a record on security issues, said Dan Blumenthal, director of Asian Studies at the American Enterprise Institute. While Baucus will certainly get up to speed, he's probably less likely than his predecessors to interfere with the White House and the Pentagon on military or political issues.
Section 18. The BBC Trust has rejected a complaint about Radio 1's decision to cut down Ding Dong, the 74-year-old song, which first appeared in the soundtrack for the Wizard of Oz film, made a surprise chart entry in April as a form of protest by critics of the late Conservative Prime Minister. It's described as an inappropriate celebration of death. The BBC Trust's Editorial Standards Committee rejected the complaint, saying that the song did have the capacity to cause offense because it had been widely publicized as a way of giving voice to anti-Thatcher feelings.
Section 19. Millions of workers will be exposed to risky and outdated retirement savings schemes under the government scheme to automatically enroll people into pensions, former Downing Street advisor Dr. Ross Altman has warned. Pension schemes under the government's Automatic Enrollment Initiative started in October 2012 and are expected to result in around 11 million new pension savers over the next 5 years. Altman said, "The future for pensions is more complex and risky than ever before." She called for an overhaul of defined contribution, DC, pensions, which, she argued, are not fit for 21st century lives.
Cleaning up China's air pollution will cost 1.75 trillion yuan between 2013 and 2017, a high-ranking environmental official has estimated. In 2013, broad swaths of China recorded their highest air pollution levels in 52 years, causing widespread outrage over the massive environmental toll wrought by decades of unchecked economic growth. In its five-year action plan, China's State Council pledged to reduce the level of airborne particulate matter by at least 10% in major cities by 2017. In response, many Chinese people have taken measures into their own hands. Face masks have become a fashion statement. Air purifier sales have spiked. Section D. In this section, you will hear a short passage. For questions 21 to 30, complete the notes using three words or fewer for each blank. The passage will be read only once. Remember to write the answers on the answer sheet.
Admissions exams are a requirement to enter almost any U.S. university. In the United States, the two most common university admissions exams are the SAT and the ACT. More than 3 million students take at least one of these tests every year. Why do universities require these tests? The best predictor of success during the first year is a combination of your high school grades and SAT scores, says one spokesperson for the College Entrance Examination Board, which oversees the SAT. We're 95% certain that a valid connection exists between ACT scores and freshman grades, agrees a representative for the ACT program. Different regions of the United States seem to prefer one test over the other. For students along the East and West Coasts, and applicants to America's top-ranked universities, the SAT seems to be the exam of choice. Throughout the Southeast, Midwest, and Rocky Mountain regions of the United States, more students take the ACT assessment. However, the majority of America's 3,600 colleges and universities, from Harvard and MIT to local community colleges, accept scores from either test. The SAT was established in 1926 when 8,000 students completed the first test, a 9-subject multiple-choice test. The Educational Testing Service designed the SAT as a way for schools with limited space to select the best students. After World War II, many state university systems began admitting greater numbers of students and simply needed a method for testing students to place them in the proper courses. Researchers at the University of Iowa developed the ACT for this purpose in 1959.
This is the end of the listening part. Please transfer your answers to the answer sheet.